Colectivo Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos a su programación de Espejos de Aztlán.
Buenas noches. My name is George Luna Peña. My guest tonight is an artist who was born in Puerto Rico and raised right here in Nuevo México. She brings modern, pop cultural, and political references to the centuries-old tradition of papel picado, which serves as her main artistic medium. She also does some really fantastic embroidery work, and we'll be talking a bit about that tonight as well. Her work, which has been shown in local and national galleries, often includes strange imagery and snarky text while referencing family mythology or sexual politics. She's been called a true Renaissance woman by her mother, and rumor has it she can bake an awesome coffee cake. Kai Margarida Ramirez, welcome to Espejos de Aztlán.
Thank you.
You're laughing about the coffee cake.
I was surprised that you knew about that.
Well, I try to do the research, so. And anytime I can plug coffee cake on this radio show, I try to do that as well.
Awesome.
Cool. So I guess, Kai, before we, you know, kind of get into the meat of things, I'm wondering about two things right off the bat. First of all, I'm curious about how you got your name, Kai. I've never actually met a Puerto Rican whose name was Kai. So I'm just, what's sort of the backstory on that?
I actually didn't have a name for the first, 3 months of my life.
Oh, wow.
Because my mom was, you know, trying out different names on me as a baby, and nothing seemed to fit. Kai is actually a Taino word. The Tainos were the indigenous people in Puerto Rico who were basically decimated by the Spaniards. But in Taino, Kai means nourishment. And it's also an acronym for the names of all the women in my family. So I'm sort of named after everybody. So those names are Katiuska, Adriana, and Isabel.
Wow, that's very cool. See, I knew there had to be a cool story behind that name.
It's actually a men's name.
Oh, is it?
A male name in Europe.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then the second thing I wanted to ask you kind of right off the bat is I think we possibly share an obsession with Kanye West because I've seen some of your embroidery work. Is that just an obsession with pop culture, or are you genuinely, truly obsessed with Yeezy?
I really do like Kanye. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with him, actually. I'm super fascinated by his ego. Just kind of this pump, you know, tooting his own horn and all this stuff. That's not just him. It's in so much of pop culture, and I see it so much in hip hop lyrics. And so I find that it's a really great combination with a medium like embroidery, which is, you know, so feminine and delicate and sort of crafty and DIY culture.
Right.
So I like to kind of pair those two together. Yeah, I love Kanye. He's hilarious and his beats are awesome.
Right, and we'll talk a little bit more about your embroidery work a little later on, but I just wanted to sort of put that out there at the beginning. And I think you're right. I mean, pairing, you know, hip-hop lyrics with embroidery, it's nothing short of brilliant. It's hilarious as well. but Kai, can you maybe tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from and so forth?
Yeah, sure. I was born in Puerto Rico. And when I was 1 year old, me and my mom moved to Albuquerque because she wanted to go to UNM. And now she's a professor at UNM. So I grew up in Albuquerque my whole life. And went to UNM as well. There, I wasn't doing an art degree. I did sociology and women's studies. And then after graduating, I felt that the best way to, communicate my political beliefs and get in touch with my form of social activism was through the visual arts. So I took a workshop at the Harwood Art Center on papel picado, and it was taught by Catalina Delgado Trunk, who's an amazing local papel picado artist. And after that workshop, I, you know, hit the ground running and just kept making paper cuts because it was just a medium that I like immediately understood. And so after that, I moved to the East Coast. I lived in Boston for a while, and then I ended up moving to New York just by coincidence. And New York is, you know, surprisingly good to me. I really love it here. And so now I'm getting my master's degree in fine arts at Parsons, the New School for Design. And that's about it.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you mentioned both Puerto Rico and Albuquerque. And so I'm curious how you're sort of, I guess we could call it like cross-cultural upbringing, you know, being born in and having deep roots in Puerto Rico and then being raised in New Mexico. How has that maybe shaped your work, your artwork?
That has greatly shaped my work. You know, it's, I would say that growing up with a Puerto Rican identity within New Mexico was kind of a strange experience because there's a lot of shared cultural stuff between Puerto Rico and New Mexico, mm-hmm. You know, not only just speaking Spanish, but, you know, a whole lot of other stuff. But there were never, like, any other Puerto Ricans. It was, like, really hard to find other Puerto Ricans there. And, you know, Chicano culture and Chicano art, Mexican folk art, are sort of like the aesthetics that I grew up with. And I still really draw from them in my own work. I think I always will. I think that growing up in Albuquerque and also being from Puerto Rico, which is, you know, a U.S. colony, mm-hmm. basically, has given me, like, a really unique kind of, like, border identity. Not necessarily a U.S.-Mexico border, but this sort of invisible border of U.S.-Puerto Rico-Albuquerque border.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, like, it's a weird kind of space to inhabit, and I'm still kind of, you know, fleshing that out in my own work.
Right, and you're still, like you said, exploring it, but I mean, it seems like it's been a very sort of creative space for you, though.
Definitely, yeah.
Cool, so let's, Kai, if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about papel picado. What exactly is it, and maybe where does it come from, and things like that?
Sure, what I learned about papel picado, I learned from my mentor, Catalina Delgado Trunk, and mm-hmm. She, you know, really has a great history lesson about it. So basically, papel picado started out, you know, as an indigenous tradition in Mexico. And what people would do is use tree bark and cut the tree bark. But when the Spanish came and they brought their galleon ships with fine products from China, the stuff would be wrapped up in Chinese tissue paper. And so the tissue paper was used then by the locals to do their paper cutting, and it's sort of transformed. So it has really origins that are global. And now, you know, you see papel picado being used for Dia de los Muertos, for quinceañeras, for weddings, etc. And one of the things that I really love about it is its ephemeral quality, especially if it's made, you know, with tissue paper. And it's hanging outside, it's going to rain, it's going to disintegrate, it's going to tear up, and eventually you'll see, like, little pieces of colored tissue paper just on the floor, and, you know, it really resonates with me because it's such a symbol for the cycle of life and death. You have to destroy the paper to create something beautiful, and then that beauty eventually is also destroyed and goes back to the earth, and I think that that's a really beautiful and poetic medium to work in.
Right, and like I mentioned earlier, I've been interested in papel picado for a while, but I've never actually heard anybody put it in that sort of way, that cycle kind of metaphor that you mm-hmm. just used. That's I think, a really great way to think about it. Can you maybe talk about the process of creating a papel picado piece? I mean, it's a really labor-intensive process, right?
Yeah, it is. And there's actually lots of ways you could go about it. I think a very common way to do it in Mexico is with a chisel, actually.
Wow.
But I learned to cut paper with an X-Acto knife. And I think that's the way, like, most modern artists, at least in the U.S., do it. So So what I do is I, you know, create my design with a drawing, and I try to finish it up as much as possible using, you know, like vellum or tracing paper or whatever, and make sure that I have all the lines that I'm going to keep connected. The big thing about paper cutting is that, you know, if you mess it up, you have to start all over again.
Right.
So you really have to make sure that when you're cutting areas out of the paper, that none of it is going to, like, collapse or, like, fall apart. So that's really the most challenging part. And then depending on the paper that I'm going to be cutting, I can usually layer a few pieces of paper and cut through all of them at the same time.
Okay.
So I take my drawing, I put it on top of whatever the finished piece, like, paper is going to be, and I just cut through the drawing, and that's cutting through the paper as well. And so another really great thing that I love about paper cutting is that I never really know what it's going to look like when it's done. All I see when I'm cutting it is the drawing that I made.
Mm-hmm.
But if I lift the piece up and look at the back, I can see the image, like, really start to emerge on the backside. And I really love that element of surprise with it.
That's a nice part of the process, I think. And how long will it take you, do you think, to make, let's say, maybe one small piece?
That really depends on the amount of detail. But, you know, if it's like, let's say an 11 by 14 piece, on average, I guess from drawing it to finishing the actual cutting, it could take anywhere between 8 to 10 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it definitely is a labor-intensive process. If you're just tuning in right now, this is Espejos de Aztlán right here on KUNM 89.9 FM. We'll be back after this short musical break.
Pan y café.
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 Viviendo en pan y cafeína, ya no se puede jugar ahí en el patio. Se robaron los juguetes. Ay, Marcelina, me dijo que el helado en nuestra tienda hay que pagar. Ay, Marcelina, me dijo que el amor ya no está aquí y no quiero pagar. ¡Hey! Ya yo me quedo aquí en mi casa y no salgo pa' nada. Pedro se ríe, Pedro no te rías. Se sonríe detrás de la nevera. Satones mentirosos que me cuentan de su vida y me cantan Acerín, Acerán, los maderos de San Juan, los de abajo piden queso, los de arriba piden pa, triqui, 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 tri. Acerín, Acerán, los maderos de San Juan, los de abajo piden queso, los de arriba piden pan, triqui, 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 tri. Acerín, Acerán, los maderos de San Juan, los de abajo piden queso, arriba pan, triqui, tri, triqui. Pan y café,
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 pan y café, pan y café.
If you're just tuning in, this is Espejos de Aztlán right here on KUNM 89.9 FM. My name is George Luna Peña. My guest tonight is artist Kai Margarida Ramirez. She's a graduate of the University of New Mexico and now resides in New York City, where she's an MFA Fine Arts candidate at Parsons, the New School for Design. You can find her and her work at kaicita.com, K-A-I-C-I-T-A.com. So, Kai, now that you're living in New York City, I'm curious how you said New York City's been surprisingly good to you. So I'm curious what the sort of reception of your work has been. And this question, of course, is coming from somebody who's assuming that papel picado isn't something that folks in New York City, in Brooklyn and Manhattan see very often.
Yeah, it really isn't. I mean, there is a large Mexican community out here, but my work has also really changed since I left New Mexico. So I almost doubt that the paper cutting that I do now would be considered papel picado, simply because of the aesthetic motifs that I'm using and the sort of cultural context in which I'm working and the subject matter that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had a conversation. I was in San Francisco a few weeks ago, and I had a conversation with the director of the Galería de la Raza, Anis Rivera, and she's familiar with my work. And we were talking about, you know, like, so what is this distinction between papel picado and, you know, paper cutting here in the States, and where my work kind of falls into right now. And she's like, yeah, you know, a few years ago you were doing papel picado, but now you're doing something else. I'm still kind of like figuring out where that line is drawn.
Right.
But in New York, you know, it's seen differently. There's certainly the audience that understands the roots of papel picado, mm-hmm. and all of that, which is great.
Can you talk about maybe some of the important themes that run through your work? I've seen you do pieces on the murdered women of Juarez, but also pieces mm-hmm. that touch upon like sexual politics and pop culture. Could you talk about some of those themes and issues that kind of drive your creative work?
You know, it always changes over time. For a while, I was doing pop culture stuff in my paper cutting. So I was doing like Mexican wrestlers and stuff like that, Barack Obama. And I guess a few years ago, I did a series of milagros, so like paper cuts of body parts that were basically prayers for myself or my loved ones for, you know, ailments that we had. And also, I did a series called Tough Love, which was basically secrets that we don't tell our lovers. And it was this really kind of like sarcastic pairing of really like feminine bird and like flora and fauna imagery with like, you know, classic kind of Victorian frames and all this, but with text that was like really blunt. So things would say like, I cheated on you too, or cheat bastard, or it's not your baby.
Right. And I remember the pigeon with the text that said, thank you for the STD.
yeah. So that was kind of where my work was at before, I guess, like 2 years ago. But the most common theme that I explore in my work that I just keep returning to is my family and my family stories. So that's kind of where I'm at again, sort of delving into that.
And let's maybe talk a little bit more about that. I read that you often use photographs, family photographs, I think maybe taken by either your grandmother or great-grandmother to help you in the process. And I heard you also describe your work as intergenerational and collaborative. Can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we're really lucky to have a lot of photographs that were taken by my great-great-grandmother.
Oh, wow.
She was sort of like an amateur photographer and I guess like the documentarian of the family. So like these amazing photos from like the 1910s to the 1930s that are, you know, just incredible images of my great-grandmother, her sister, their cousins, and them on their trips to Europe. And, you know, it's really amazing. So I use these as my source material a lot of the time and sort of as a way to engage in a dialogue with my ancestors who, you know, growing up in New Mexico and so far away from my extended family, you know, I really felt a need to make an effort and sort of reach back and make a connection with this family and find my place within this larger family history and narrative. So I use the photographs a lot to kind of investigate these people who I heard so many stories about. And yeah, so I call it an intergenerational collaboration because I'm really collaborating with my great-great-grandmother.
Right. And are you trying to, like, if you see a photograph, you're trying to sort of make a version of that in papel picado?
I did that at the beginning, but now it's much deeper. It's actually manipulating the photograph. So I'm taking people out of the pictures. I'm really disrupting the image and sort of making it an exploration of my own relationship to the time period, to the photograph, to my own memory. Now, you know, it's a whole other thing. And that's why, you know, I don't really feel like it qualifies as papel picado anymore. It's totally different technique and aesthetic. that I'm doing.
Okay. And so, and I've seen some of your pieces where it looked like, and I haven't seen them in person, I've just seen them online, but it looked like you were maybe weaving onto the actual photograph. Is that what you're talking about right now?
Yeah. So I kind of started putting together my paper cutting and embroidery. Embroidery has been kind of like my pet project over the last couple of years. And embroidering on top of photographs has sort of, you know, it's a great way to like layer and bring a photograph into the third dimension, and also to like add color to these really great like sepia toned images. So I think probably the image that you saw is a blown up photograph. And I've cut out these floor tile designs. So there's like these geometric patterns, and I've cut them out all over the image. And then I've gone in and started embroidering the same floor tile patterns throughout the remainder of the photograph. Mm-hmm. And it's using these sort of like neon embroidery threads. So it really pops. Some of them are really bright and kind of hurt your eyes.
Right. And then you have the black and white photograph underneath, so it really does pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I personally think that aesthetically that looks really, really cool. It's a great process. And then to know that photograph comes from like, you know, this family history, I think adds to that.
Yeah. And part of what I'm doing with the embroidery is I'm also embroidering it backwards. So I turn the image up backwards, and I'm embroidering, I guess, sort of blind in a way. So actually the back side of the embroidery is the front of the image. So all the sort of like loose threads get tangled and matted up together. And I really like that quality of like imperfection and the things that I can't control.
Right.
Because the paper cutting is so precise and controlled. That embroidering backwards kind of allows me to have a lack of control in what I'm doing.
Right. This is Espejos de Aslan. We're joined tonight by artist Kai Margarida Ramirez. Her work, much of which puts a fresh twist on the centuries-old tradition of papel picado, has been shown in galleries all over the country, including the Boise State Visual Arts Center in Idaho, the Camaradas Gallery in New York, and 516 Arts right here in downtown Albuquerque. So Kai, we started to talk a little bit about embroidery, and so let's talk a little bit more about that. On your website, you call it pop embroidery, and you have references in your embroidery work to like Parks and Recs, the TV show, to Downton Abbey, The Wire. Actually, you have a lot of references to television shows. But then you also have references, as we talked about earlier, to like Kanye West and the.
Mm-hmm.
But besides, you know, being kind of really aesthetically pleasing, they're also really funny and smart and almost, I guess, playful or whimsical. How'd you even get into embroidery work? What took you in that direction?
Again, it was just a workshop I signed up for. I've noticed that I'm really attracted to media that is, you know, typically considered a craft.
Mm-hmm.
Or like feminine work, which, you know, I really have a problem with. But it's really detail oriented and time consuming. Those are the things that I'm like really attracted to. And so I just signed up for, you know, a 1-day workshop, and I realized that embroidering was super fun, and it was like drawing with thread. And so I guess the reason I've been doing a lot of like pop cultural references in embroidery is because I think there's a really nice tension between a really old medium that was, you know, always done in the home by women, and cultural references that, you know, everyone knows that probably piss a lot of people off. I know Kanye, you know, pisses me off. And so I like to kind of create this tension and dynamic between the medium and the message. And I think kitsch also comes into that a lot.
Right.
And I really love, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with pop culture. And I think growing up in a world of like Chicano art, there's a lot of kitsch and a lot of pop cultural references there. And I love it and I embrace it. You know, I want to bring it out here too.
I think it's probably the first time in the history of embroidery that the word Yeezy or the phrase fish fillet has been embroidered on something. But
well, you know, I actually, there's another embroiderer who embroiders Kanye's tweets.
Oh, really?
And they're so good. I don't know the name of the artist, but you should definitely Google it. It's really funny.
Make sure to check that out. But Kai, what other projects are you working on now, or what's on the horizon for you?
Well, right now I'm in my final year of my master's degree at Parsons, and so I have my thesis coming up. We're going to have a thesis exhibition in late April at the Kitchen Gallery in Chelsea, which is really amazing. And so I'm working on that, and at the same time, I'm one of the artist fellows at the De Young Museum in San Francisco. And the fellowship is a really exciting project. It's me and three other paper cut artists. Two are from the Bay Area, and two of us are from here in the East Coast in the tri-state area. And we're working together and independently through March. And so we're going to be exhibiting at the De Young basically our process and some finished pieces. And it's going to be a really, really interesting investigation, I guess, of paper cutting and seeing, you know, like how these four very different artists approach the same medium. And then along with that exhibition, we're partnering with the Galleria de la Raza also in San Francisco, where we'll have another exhibition. And all of that's happening in March and April.
Great, great.
So, yeah, so next spring is going to be really busy and really exciting.
Awesome. Well, first of all, congratulations on the Young Fellowship. And I'm sure folks are really excited to see your new work. Are there any plans in the future to maybe exhibit some more stuff here in Albuquerque?
I would love to. Yeah, I had so much fun exhibiting at 516. And yeah, I mean, I love going home and bringing my new work home. And I hope I get to do it again.
For folks that are interested in maybe keeping up with your work and stuff like that, where can they do that?
On my website, www.kaicita.com. That's KAICITA.com. They can also check out some work on the Parsons website. So if they look for the MFA Fine Arts program at Parsons, the new school for design, there's some of my current work and also current work of all the other artists here, which is really amazing. Yeah.
Cool. And we are unfortunately out of time, but it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking time out to hang out with me today and talk about all things papel picado, embroidery, even Kanye, you know what I mean?
Anytime.
Have a good one, and we'll see you soon, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks a lot.
My name is George Luna Peña, and this has been your programa, Espejos de Aztlán.